That song has much doctrinal truth within it in those five verses. And there is another verse to it. It's not in our song books, but there is another verse. It says, when through deep waters I shall go, the rivers of woe shall not over thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. And we find in this passage tonight, Paul is instructing Timothy and warning him about how to stay true to the Lord. And the first thing that we find tonight in our verses is verse number 15. The best way to stay true to God, stay true to the work of the Lord, is to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved. And that makes us a workman that don't have to be ashamed. We can rightly speak about and talk about. And it says here, rightly divide the word of truth. That dividing truth means that we are able to take passage upon passage and deal with the truth and realize and can, if have to, can prove that the Word of God it does not contradict itself. It does not confuse any of the issues. But to do that and have that ability, we must be able to study, and must study unto God. And he tells him to not have the profane and the babblings. Says shun those speaks and speaking and different type of conversation. He said all that will do is will gain or increase unto more ungodliness. And then he tells us here that we are able to, he should flee those youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And then he tells and really gives us the attitude here of every servant of the Lord. In verse number 24, it says the servant of the Lord must not strive, must be gentle, to all men, apt to teach, patient, and in meekness instructing. And we will be able to, according to verse 25-26, be able to reprove those that have gone the wrong direction, be able to prove them wrong, and maybe grab them out of the snare of the wicked one, that he seemingly just is able to take them at his own personal will. But he tells us in verse number 19, no matter what comes our way, no matter what befalls us, whether it be the babblings or whether it be the problems around us or whether it be those accusations against us, Paul wanted Timothy to be sure that he was building upon a foundation that was firm. And he tells him here in verse number 19, the foundation of God standeth sure. And that word sure means it's going to be there. It's not going to be changing. It's not going to be moving back and forth. But it's a sure foundation that is always there. The word foundation means that we can build upon. It is a structure that can be built up on. And it is always the lowest of a supporting level. The foundation of this building is in the ground. The foundation of our homes are unseen. And they're covered under the earth because they go deep into the ground. And that's why the house stands when we have windstorms. That's why things remain sure, because the foundation is sure. And the foundation is correct. Now the Lord gives us a parable in Matthew chapter number 7. It's a very familiar parable. And in verses 24 through 27, we have here a parable of two builders. One builds upon the rock, and one builds upon the sand. Let's read verse number 24, and we'll read on down through verse number 27. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, The floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And then the last few words there, and great was the fall of it. The Lord gives this illustrative story, this parable. Two men go out and they build a building. They build two houses. No doubt they probably maybe were different in their outward structure, but they were two houses that were meant to be lived in and probably used from the same materials of that day. And the only difference was the foundation. The only difference was where it was built, what it was built upon. One upon a rock, one upon a sand. Each house was subject to the same abuse. The winds came, the rain beat against it, the floods came. One stood and one fell. It was a building that everything was pretty much alike except the foundation. And the foundation of those houses meant either success or failure. Of course, we know the Lord was illustrating a man building his life. A man putting his life upon the sands of this world or upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that He is the foundation. He is the one that takes care of us and gives us stability and surety in our life. But He is using this illustration or using this parable to illustrate the importance of what is underneath. It's used to illustrate what is so good about what we do not see. One built, he probably dug down into the dirt and found a solid rock, and he built his house upon the rock. He built his house upon a foundation that was sure, and it was steadfast, immovable, and when the storms came, that house stood. You and I tonight, when we build our house upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured that the storms will come. We can be assured that the rains will fall, the winds will blow, and the tempest will be around us many different times. But if we're built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our house will stand and our continuation will go forward. But if we build our house like this foolish man did, one was a wise builder, one was a foolish builder. He dug down maybe a little ways and he probably leveled it out and everything looked good and he just built his house upon the rock, or upon the sand rather, upon the dirt, and had no foundation, had no firmness about that. And the same storms come to that life, the same storms come to that house, and it falls. But the sad part about the fall of it is, great is the fall of it. When regarding mankind, when a man falls without the Lord and his life is destroyed by the storms of life, great is the fall of that life. Great is the fall of that one that has gone without God, without Christ, and no longer is able to stand, and he falls under the pressures, falls under the destructive powers of the storms that come to us, and great is the fall of it. Nothing is left. It sort of reminds us of a tornado or a storm that comes through and destroys certain houses. Certain ones are destroyed, certain ones are not. And those that are standing, and those right beside it can be one that is totally demolished. And great is the fall. Nothing is left. And so tonight I want us just to consider this subject of the foundation. The foundation standeth sure. Paul was encouraging Timothy and trying to give him words of encouragement, nevertheless. That word nevertheless means just because it happens anyway, it's going to be sure foundation from the Lord. And so I want us to notice some things about this foundation. And we have here in verse number 19, and we'll be looking at it quite a bit tonight in these couple of points that we have about the foundation and the sovereign God that is the source of our foundation. I'm glad tonight that it's not my foundation. I'm glad it's not my building. I'm glad it's His. He's the God of heaven, and I don't have to belabor that point to prove to you that we believe that He is the one that makes us what we are and develops us into the type of Christian that we are. The Bible says that there is no other foundation that can be laid. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So it's very clear that our foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the house of God. He's the foundation of the child of God, the people of the Lord, and He's the source of our stability. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone," or the most important part of the building is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, part of the foundation we build upon is the truths that God gave through the apostles, the teaching that they gave, the Word of God that we have. And here in Ephesians, Paul tells us that we're built upon that foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that they laid the groundwork, they did the work, but Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is that main part of the foundation that keeps us upright and standing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the salvation of our Savior that is of our foundation. He says here in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We teach, we preach hard and long and loud that there's only one way to go to heaven, and we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation. There's a lot of religion, there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of false doctrine, but there's only one way to go to the Lord's heaven. There's no other name given among men, no one name under heaven. We've heard a lot of talk, we've read a lot down through history of men that have tried to set themselves up as God or as a sovereign or as one that has total authority, but Jesus Christ is the only one that takes mankind to heaven. And so God is the source of our foundation. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our foundation, and we have in the Word of God that we're not to follow ungodliness and fables. And by the way, when you do away with the Word of God, all you have left is fables. All you have left is what we would call Mother Goose stories or fairy tales, those type of things. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter number 1 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." People that know the Scripture, people that study to show themselves approved unto God, do not follow cunningly devised fables, which we made known unto you in the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, "But we're eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter said, "We looked upon Him, our eyes beheld Him." Another portion of Scripture says, "Our hands handled Him, we knew Him." And he says, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 18 of 2 Peter 1, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with Him in the Holy Mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do dwell, that we take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation." That just simply means you can't take a little verse of Scripture out of one place and build a whole doctrine upon that like many false teachers do. The Word of God standeth sure, and we have no Scripture that is of private interpretation. And it came of old by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter tells us that we have a sure word, and that sure word tells us about a sure foundation. Paul tells Timothy, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It is steadfast, it is immovable, It's not changeable. I've seen people, and you, I'm sure, have known people, that we make the statement they get up in a different world every day. That means they're never the same. Every day they're different. What they say one day, they may contradict the next day. Well, I'm glad tonight our foundation is sure. I'm glad tonight the Word of God standeth sure. It is unchangeable, and the Word of God will give us life and give us liberty. And the Scripture tells us that we can build upon that rock, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when the Lord is talking about the church, He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus is the foundation. He is the immovable stone. Peter, you're just a small pebble in the whole work of the Lord. But speaking of Himself, He said, "I'm the rock. I'm the foundation." And we can build upon that. And it's even important in eternity, because we find in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, it says, "And the wall of the city," that's that new city, heavenly Jerusalem, "had 12 foundations." So the foundations are all the way through the Scripture. And He says, "And in them of the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And so we find that our foundation is that which we can build a life upon, and the surety of it. Jesus is that sure foundation, and it will never fail. There will be no failure in His life, no failure in His giving. His foundation is an eternal foundation. Our verse here said it standeth. That means it's there, and the Word gives the meaning that it's standing immovable. It's not changeable. It is there forever. It's unceasing. It's unending. It's unfailing. Thank God tonight we can depend upon the Lord. We can depend upon the things of God. And it's a sure foundation. It's a foundation that is irreplaceable. It'd be hard to replace a foundation. Back a few years ago, we had that here in the city, had bad concrete given, and foundations were poured, houses built upon it, and they had a lot of lawsuits because it was not sure. It was movable. And I didn't know rocks grew, but they said those rocks were green and they continued to grow, and the foundations would crumble. Well, sorry to say, one of our buildings has that type of foundation, and it has done some moving and it has done some changing. But they say after a period of a few years, which we have passed, that changes, and we were able to not have to replace. They came out and they looked at the building and they gave us an estimate of what it would cost that they would have to pay to jack the building up and pull out all the foundation, pull out all the concrete, and redo that. And they didn't want to pay that, and I didn't want the mess. And I didn't want to have to, because it would have ruined the whole school year. So we took a settlement from them and prayed that the Lord would take care of that concrete. And guess what? He has taken care of that concrete. We've got a door that doesn't shut exactly right, but that's okay. It just goes to a closet. And so that's not much of a problem. But the foundation over there is not sure. But the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is sure. He does not crumble. He does not change. And it's a surety that we have, and it's irreplaceable. He cannot be moved. He cannot be overtaken. And He is the Lord of glory. He is indispensable, and He is the Lord knoweth those that are His. Verse number 19 says, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." What is the seal of God's foundation? The Lord knoweth them that are His. I'm glad tonight that I can say God knows me. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, God knows you. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything there is about. He knows more about you than you do. And you live with you. And the Bible says here that the Lord knoweth them that are His. you can rest assured there's no one going to come in and he does not know them. You can rest assured that no one's going to come in secretly. The only way you get in is through Jesus Christ, and he knows us. Praise the Lord. Now we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 19 also, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows us, and we name the name of Christ. We're Christian. And here Paul tells Timothy, he says, those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, let them depart from sin or iniquity. Ought not to be desiring those things of the world. This is a command for a pure conduct for a life of those that are saved. Now, it's not a command for a perfect conduct, because we are not perfect. We cannot do the perfect things. We'll always falter. We'll always fail, because we're on this side of eternity. We're still in the flesh. But we certainly don't, even though we can't be pure, thank God we are forgiven and we can be pure in the Lord and maybe not perfect. Let everyone that names the name of Christ, if you're a Christian, if you name the name of Christ, if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, then thank the Lord tonight we can flee iniquity, as Paul tells Timothy to flee those youthful lusts and those things that bother us, the foolish and unlearned questions, he says, to avoid, knowing that they gender strife, because a servant of the Lord must not strive. We must not have a strifeful spirit. This is the command for the saved, that we depart from iniquity, that we depart from ungodliness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 6:11 says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye have straitened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same, I speak unto you as my children. Now be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 11 through 18, Paul is commending and encouraging the Corinthian people to be a separated people. I know we use these verses for many different occasions, but it's just simply a child of God has nothing in agreement with a non-believer. Doesn't matter what place we find ourselves, doesn't matter what position we find ourselves, he asks the question, and he says not to be unequally yoked. Many times that's used in marriage, but I believe it's for everything else. It's not just in the marriage relationship that believers should marry believers, and that is true, and that is best, and I believe that is scriptural, because when believers marry unbelievers, there's usually a strife in the home. And usually unbelief is more dominant than the believer. And so it's just better if we stay together as a Christian. But it's not just talking about the home. It's not just talking about that relationship. But he says here, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How can righteousness and unrighteousness get along? How can good and bad coexist in the same place. What communion hath light with darkness? If you have light, you do not have darkness. If you have darkness, you do not have light. We have lights on tonight. Flip the switches back there, we'll have darkness. They do not mix. It's like oil and water. It will not mix. And so a Christian and an unbeliever, they really do not have anything in common. He says, what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? How can we build on a foundation together like that? And I know we live in a world that is the common goal. That's the common cause. I see around town three or four cars that have that bumper sticker. And when you look at it, it says coexist. And it's got the Christian emblem. It's got the Muslim emblem. It's got the, I forget now what all. But you look at it, it says coexist. There's no way that a child of God, truly a born-again Christian, can coexist and just let those things go by without saying something and without standing for the Lord. For we have a foundation that we're built upon, and we must stay and remain true to the Word of God. We're to be separated in our actions. We're to be separated in our associations. We're to be a separate people in our attitudes. And we ought to pursue this thing of departing from iniquity. That the Lord would bless us and help us. Nevertheless, we live in a world that's strifeful. My goodness. What was it Brother Larry said this morning? I believe it was Brother Larry said this morning, if you want to get in a good argument, just talk about politics. There's no in-between ground. There's no maybe this right, maybe that wrong. It's just black, white. If you're one way, that then you're, everything about you is wrong. And so the... This world we live in is that divided. Well, I'll tell you what, we should be that divided from the world we live in. We should be so true to the Lord that we would build upon this foundation. And as Paul was writing to Timothy, he realized there's going to be many struggles. Nevertheless, just because the struggles come, just because the storms come, just because the rains come, you be sure that your foundation is standing true and standing firm. I'm glad tonight we have a firm foundation. That song that we did tonight, How Firm a Foundation, such a good song every verse has a great message to it. Verse number 4 says, even down to old age, my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs or the gray hair shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still my bosom be born. Thank God tonight He takes care of us from the birth of a child of God until the death of a child of God. And as we grow older, He's still there to help us. And that foundation is always there. Jesus is that one. Says, I will not leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm there for you every portion of your life. Every portion of your years, and you can bring it down to every portion of your day. I'm glad He's here for me right now. I'm glad He was here for me this morning. I'm glad He'll be here for me tomorrow, because He's that foundation that stands and is always available to the child of God. May we have comfort and rejoice in those things that God has done for us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And be comforted in knowing that He knows all His children. He knows every one of us. He knows every need. Tomorrow, Teresa, He'll know your need. He'll take care of that. Those of us that have faced different things, thank God He knew it before we got there. He knew it before we went through it. And He knows how to handle that because He's our foundation. And we build upon Him and love Him because He first loved us. Well, let's stand together tonight and thank the Lord for what He has for us and what He's done for us. And He's not going to change. So what He did for us today, He can do for us again tomorrow. How He blessed us last week, He can bless us this coming week, because the foundation stands sure, unchangeable, unmovable. Brother Bradley, if you would dismiss us, please.